Okay, dear Dharma friends, we were discussing Dhaniya Sutta, which is available in Sutta Nipata. Actually, we have already completed Kaggavisana Sutta, which also in the Sutta Nipata. And this Dhaniya Sutta is also in the Sutta Nipata and discuss certain aspects of spiritual life as well as certain aspects of the typical household life. The interesting incident happened between one cowherd called Dhaniya, herdsman called Dhaniya. So he's a quite successful person. Yeah, he had a very successful household life. He actually had 30,000 ox and another 30,000 bulls, sorry, cows. And basically he was living a fairly luxurious life in that sense, fairly wealthy life. And he has seven daughters, seven sons, and his wife is Gopika. And as a custom of those agricultural society, what they did was wandering from place to place where the cows can get proper grass. So they are looking for grasslands, and so that their cows can be easily fed. And during the rainy season, they are finding a fairly safe place so that everybody is quite safe. And in this particular occasion, they are reaching the rainy season, and they have recognized one of the bank of the river called Mahi. So now they are living in the Mahi River bank, and they have prepared a fairly good dwelling places, huts, so that his whole family and his other supporters, everybody can live safely. And at the same time, his cows and the ox are also can live safely. Everything is in a good shape. And basically, that agricultural society, their success is measured using these kinds of measurements, these kinds of indicators. Yeah, they have a lot of cows, a lot of ox. And through them, they are accumulating various things like ghee, butter, everything, preparing milk. And all these things are quite significant in this agricultural society. So they are living a fairly successful life. So one day during the night, this Dhaniya explains that he is quite successful as well as everything is in good shape. And now it is about to rain. And since he is recognizing his situation as fairly comfortable, favorable, now he is very much like uttering a verse which is indicating kind of a happiness he is enjoying. So when consider the typical household life, there are various ways one can be happy. Buddha also has admitted that, Buddha mentioned that. One aspect is Attisukha, where when one has fair amount of wealth, and considering that one's wealth, I have accumulated a certain amount of wealth, maybe in today's terms, maybe bank account, maybe various other fixed assets or assets. So considering that, one can be happy because you have spent fair amount of time and effort, and using that you are able to accumulate some wealth. So that is called Attisukha, where one can recognize that what you have and using which one can be little happy about it. On the other hand, Buddha mentioned the Bhoga Sukha, that is where you have enough thing to consume and a lot of things are there. You are fairly okay with the consumables, food, etc. And on the other hand, Buddha mentioned about Anavajja Sukha, that is actually has some indication to the virtues, to the morality, what one is following. So when you have maintained a fairly good life, in the sense that you are moral and virtuous, as a result of that also you have certain amount of happiness because you know that you are not doing something wrong. Not doing something wrong to yourself, not doing something wrong to any others. As a result of that, you are doing kind of what is wholesome, and therefore you feel kind of a innocent happiness. That you are living a very good life, very honest life, a wholesome life. So that is anavajja sukha, that you are maintaining a righteous life. As a result of that, you feel happiness. And your wealth and all your different kinds of occupations are all fairly righteous. So therefore, you have this anavajja sukha. Now, at this situation, this Dhaniya, the herdsman, explains his situation using different verses. And that is being heard by the Buddha, who was in a very far place. Actually, Dhaniya was residing in the Mahi river bank, but Buddha was living in Savasthi. But Buddha, through his divine eye, was able to recognize this Dhaniya's verses, utterances. And Buddha recognized that he has a kind of a threat. So this rain, which is going to rain too much and ultimately can lead to a flooding, and the whole people can get into a kind of a danger. So this person can be killed. On the other hand, if Buddha visits there and explains them Dhamma, then there's a potential to this Dhaniya and to his wife to become monks and even to attain arahantship, and everybody becomes to followers of him. So therefore, Buddha recognized this potential, and so he immediately go towards this Dhaniya's place. Now, Dhaniya is uttering these verses alone, and Buddha is now on the sky and replying. It's a kind of a very beautiful situation where Dhaniya is uttering his verses while being at his hut. Now, Buddha is listening and giving a kind of an answer or different explanation, different interpretation, while being on the sky. So they are now can hear each other. Buddha's replies and Dhaniya's verses are heard by these two people, Buddha and the Dhaniya. And not only Dhaniya, actually, even the Dhaniya's wife can hear that. That is how Buddha sort of reacted here or replied here. And now Buddha and the Dhaniya actually explains his success in this household life. And Buddha explains how he is comparatively living a successful life in the spiritual terms. So last time we discussed the first two verses, where Dhaniya explains that his success in the maintenance of his cows and the ox, and he has prepared the whole dwelling place quite comfortably, and therefore, and again the kuti is well thatched, properly roofed, and again the fire is also available, so if necessary you can train. So he is giving kind of a invitation, kind of a challenge to the rain god, the sky god, or in terms of the rain, that he is now quite comfortable, there is no problem in raining. So, but on the other hand, Buddha give a different explanation. So Buddha mentioned that he is not boiling with anger, and he is completely free from various factors which are making the mind dry, barren. So those factors are completely removed, eliminated, and he is simply living in this Mahi bank, river bank, only just one day, unlike Dhaniya, who is going to stay for a long time. But Buddha is simply staying in this river bank only just one day, one night. And his hut is open. Buddha's, they are mentioned that his mind is quite open. There is nothing to hide. So his discipline is well open. Therefore, there is nothing to hide. And on the other hand, all the fires are extinguished. Maybe the lust, maybe the anger, maybe the delusion. All sorts of different fires of the defilements are all extinguished. So Buddha is giving a kind of a deeper interpretation to his life, as a kind of a reply to Dhaniya's verse. Now, then we can reach today's two verses. And here there's an interesting situation. Certain scholars mention, now these verses are actually recorded coming through the oral tradition. And by the way, certain verses seems dropped. Some verses seems missed. So therefore, the two verses, number 20 and 21, are not exactly matching because some scholars mention that certain verses seems to be missed somehow when generation to generation these verses are being transmitted. Certain verses were missed. That's why there may be a little discrepancy between these two verses. Anyway, Dhaniya mentioned like this. Andhaka makasana vijjare hacche rulhatine charanti gavo uttimpe saheya saheyu magatang atate patteesi pavassa deva. So if translates into English, no gadflies or mosquitoes are found. The cows roam in the meadow lush with the grass. They can endure rain when it comes. So if you wish, pour down, O sky god. Now basically he is explaining his sort of safe situation where there are no any difficulties, obstacles coming through, gadflies or mosquitoes. He has arranged something to protect from those. And on the other hand, cows are in a proper situation, safe situation, and they are all gathered in a particular meadow. And it is lush with the grass, so therefore they have enough to eat. And even if rain comes down, there is no problem for myself, for my family, or to my supporters, and even to the ox and cows. Everybody is in a good shape. So therefore, if you need, you can rain. So he's giving this kind of a beautiful explanation to the situation. Now, Buddha answers to this verse maybe differently, but unfortunately, that particular verse is missing. But now, what is available here is little different. Buddha mentioned, Baddhasi bisi susankata. Tinno paragato vinaya ogam atto visya na vijjati atache patteyasi pavassa deva. So Buddha mentioned, I made a raft that is well constructed. I have crossed, gone beyond, escaped the flood. I have no more need for a raft. So if you wish, pour down, O sky god. Now basically raft is a simile, a symbolic representation for Dhamma. Probably you can remember in the Alagaddupama Sutta, Buddha mentioned that he is preaching Dhamma as a kind of a raft. So it is for crossing the flood, not to grasp. So basically, he is the only teacher who has mentioned such kind of a very beautiful situation where his teaching, his Dhamma, is there to cross. Is there to cross the flood, not to kind of record and grasp and venerate and that kind of a thing. So therefore, his teaching is completely a practical thing, using which one has to cross the flood. Cross the flood in the sense to overcome suffering and to get released, to get liberated. It is not to carry down. It is not a carrying from your head. So therefore Buddha mentioned here, I have made a raft which is constructed properly. So his Dhamma is well proclaimed. Adi kalyanam, majje kalyanam, pariyosana kalyanam. So his Dhamma is pure in the beginning, pure in the middle, and pure at the end. So there's the beauty is there. In the Dhamma it is complete. And if one follows it, there is proper benefits. So therefore, we can invite someone to come and explore Dhamma. So likewise, there are very advanced features, qualities of the Dhamma. And using that, Buddha has crossed, gone to the other shore, gone beyond, and escaped from the flood. Now, the flood here are the auger. There are four types of floods. So these are basically indicating the defilements. Kama auger, Bhava auger, Ditti auger, Avijja auga. So these are the different kinds of floods that we may go through. We have various kinds of sensual desires. So those are the karma auga. Constantly people are burning with these kinds of sensual desires. Maybe desire to see various things, desire to hear various things, various songs, melodies, etc. to experience certain odors, to have very tasty things, and have good luxurious items. So likewise, these fivefold sense data are the ones that we are going after. And therefore, we all have that desire, the sensual desire. And on the other hand, bhava-oga, where we are not satisfied in the present moment, we are always looking forward, always asking for something more, never satisfied. So always being driven by this craving. So that is the karma-oga. Constantly we have that. So it may be for the next moment, it may be for the next hour, maybe to the next week, maybe next month, next year, or even next life. So likewise, we are constantly looking forward. Always mind is inclined towards the future, having more success, having more benefit, having more kind of happiness, having more pleasures. So likewise, mind is never satisfied in the present moment. So constantly, we have that inclination in the mind. Present moment is unsatisfied. Next moment is what we are always looking after, looking forward. Now, that is bhava oga. Then ditti oga, we are sometimes have various different kinds of views, and those views are sometimes quite strong. We strongly hold them. We are very much stuck in them. So sometimes we get hooked up in these different views, wrong views. And last one is the avijja oga. The mind is completely ignorant. We can't penetrate. We don't know the realities. We are trapped in the conventional world. So we are not being able to come out of that and look at the reality. So we are being trapped in the conventional world. So we ourselves, the human beings, are the ones who generated the conventions, given different names, prepared various languages, and ultimately they get trapped in that conventions. And they start to argue, they start to quarrel, they have various battles, going to wars. Considering this convention is the reality, taking it too strong, too hard. So basically, so that ignorance is prevalent in everyone's mind, and we are strengthening that, and ultimately get stuck in that ignorance. And based on that ignorance, we are doing various tasks. Again and again, more and more karma being accumulated. It's very much like a vicious cycle that we are going through. So that is the ignorance and the what we call the avijja oga, or the flood of ignorance. So we are being carried away every time due to ignorance, due to various wrong views, various sensual desires, and again always different types of desires to become, looking forward. So these are the things that always we are being carried away by. And Buddha, using his Dhamma, well proclaimed Dhamma, was able to cross the flood. Now he is quite free. So therefore, Buddha mentioned, I have no more need for a raft. I don't need the Dhamma right now because I have done my job. I have completed. I have now fully liberated, fully enlightened. So therefore, there is no need of this, what you call the raft. If necessary, therefore, you can rain. So very beautifully, Buddha mentioned his situation, explained his situation, how he has realized Dhamma, how he has used that Dhamma to cross the flood. And now he is quite safe, free, and therefore, he is not afraid of rain. And if you go a little further, now this Daniya, herdsman, so he is explaining further attributes of his family life, and he mentions like this: Gopi mama assava alola digarattam sangvasiya manappa passa na tsunami kinchi papang atache pattesi pavassa deva. Now he is talking about his wife. Now his wife is also intelligent person, intelligent woman, and she is quite devoted, and she is living with this Dhaniya for a long time. So they are having many children, 7 daughters, 7 sons. So they are living a successful family life. And Dani is quite happy about her behavior. So he's praising his wife, mentioning like this: "My wife is obedient and not wanton. Living together with me for a long time, she is agreeable. And I do not hear any evil about her. So if you wish, pour down, O sky god." Now, a husband appreciating one's wife is something interesting, because sometimes people are not doing such kind of appreciation. Rather, they always find different faults, arguing, and different problems are there in the family life. Now here, these people are living agricultural lifestyle and helping each other and maintaining a huge family. At the same time, they are happy about themselves. And it is again interesting, because nowadays things have become complicated, and there are many situations to go wrong, to go astray, go on the wrong directions, and to break the celibacy. So likewise, different situations are there. But in the old society, so people are quite harmonious. Their lifestyle is quite simple. And as a result of that, they are quite satisfied with their household life, helping each other and looking after the family. And in a way, the family situation is in a proper positive atmosphere. It doesn't have so much complications, unlike today. So that is being said by Dhani. Now Buddha is explaining kind of an answer to that verse. Now he is talking in terms of the spirituality. Chittam mama asavang vimuttam, digarattam paribhavitam sudantam. Now, Dhani is talking about his wife. Buddha is talking about his mind. Now, Dhani is mentioning that his wife is obedient. Buddha is mentioning his mind is obedient. Not the wife, but the mind. Mind is quite obedient. So, it is not immediately happening. Buddha has done, went through complete practice. As a result of that, now the mind has completely obedient to the Buddha. And his mind is liberated. And on the other hand, so therefore there is no any kind of alola. So alola there means, so the wife is not going after or kind of a greedy person. But here Buddha's mind has no greed, no hatred, no delusion, and it is quite liberated. So, Dhaniya mentioned his wife is not a greedy person, and Buddha mentioned his mind is completely liberated, completely free from greed, completely free from lust, completely free from anger and delusion. And Digarattam paribhavitam sudantam. Now, Dhaniya mentioned he has lived with his wife a long time, and she is agreeable, maintaining a kind of a cordial relationship. Buddha mentioned, I have nurtured the mind for a long time, because he is training his mind for a long, long time. So therefore, it is well tamed. And further, Buddha mentioned, Papam pana me na vichyati. So therefore, his mind has no evil at all, completely purified. And Dhaniya was mentioning, he hasn't heard about any evil about his wife. Buddha mentioned, my mind is completely liberated, completely purified. There are no any evil thoughts or evil desires, evil habits. It's a completely pure state. Atache pattesi pavasadeva. So this is my situation. So please, if it's necessary, you can rain. So it's kind of a very beautiful analogy Buddha gives here. So Dhani is explaining about his wife and giving a kind of a positive explanation. Buddha is explaining his mind and recognize what are the results of the training. So basically, when one is cultivating one's mind, developing mindfulness, developing concentration, developing wisdom, so slowly the mind becomes fairly tamed. So previously, actually, mind is untamed. So if we want to keep it to a particular object, it never stay there, always jumping from this place to another place. Kind of an unruly situation, completely restless situation, scattered situation. But slowly with the practice, one can change it, one can tame it, and make the mind fairly tamed. Say, for example, when you are doing walking meditation, so at the beginning there may be so many distractions. It is very difficult to keep your attention on the steps, because that keeping your attention on the steps is quite ordinary experience, and it is not that attractive. So mind again and again jumps. But without failure, without giving up, if you are able to again and again bring your mind back to the object, bring your mind back to the steps, then slowly you are making it obedient. It's not immediately happening. I mean, you have to put a lot of effort at the beginning. So you are again and again bring your attention back to the steps. Again and again bring your attention back to the breath, back to the steps. And even if the say you are practicing Anapanasati or rising and falling, the same situation. Whenever mind get distracted, you have to pull it back, slowly bring it back, and keep it on the breath, or keep it on the rising and falling, or keep it on the posture. So likewise, it's a kind of a training that one has to go through. So as a result of that training, so mind slowly become fairly tamed, like a small kid. At the beginning, it always rebels, always want to go out, never want to listen. But later he become obedient. Now he's a obedient child. Similarly, the mind become quite tamed mind, obedient mind. Now, if you want to look at a particular place and observe what is going on there, our mind is ready for that. Say, for example, now you are in the Dhatu Manasikara, in the elements meditation, and there is certain kinds of element characteristics visible on a particular place of the body. Immediately, you can locate your mind there. You can focus your mind there, focus your attention there, and mind is available there, well established to observe it. So it's very much like mind is now under your command. So you can make use of that ability, that skill that you have developed to now develop wisdom. Because now you have focused attention and again fair amount of control, fair amount of tamed obedience. And that now you are using to observe various phenomena. So as a result of now, as a result of that, fair amount of wisdom is arising. Now that wisdom helps to further purify yourself, to understand various situations, different, say, understandings, various insights. Now it is possible to overcome various defilements and to liberate the mind. So therefore, it's a kind of a gradual practice, Buddha explained. And he went through that practice and he has completely liberated himself, and so there he is appreciating the present situation. What is the situation of the present time? So his mind is quite pure, completely liberated, free from any hatred, delusion, lust, etc. And therefore, he has no problem with any kind of a climatic problem. Nowadays, I mean, we are, as a whole world, we are facing many troubles. Maybe climatic issues, maybe economic issues, maybe pandemic issues. But if we consider Buddha's situation, now he is completely liberated, his mind is well tamed, so he is not afraid of any of these vicissitudes of the life. So therefore, it's interesting to recognize his situation and to understand that how brave he is in a way, how unwavering situation that he is. His mind is in a way akampita and not wavering. So if one has such kind of a skill, ability, so that indicates its spiritual maturity. So I think that is enough for today's Dhamma sermon. Now I'd like to open the session for questions.
Avasarai Bhante,
Yeah.
before we go into the questions, just want to share the retreat details upcoming in the Easter holidays. There's an announcement, so I'll just share the screen. So just for everybody's information, this retreat is planned from 15, 16, 17, 18. And it's mainly conducted from Dhammasarana Temple in Melbourne. But other states are also joining in. So in Western Australia, they have organized the daily retreat as well, where people will go in. So we are also inviting all of you to join this retreat. So we will join via Zoom. Pante is doing this retreat from Sri Lanka, and we'll join via Zoom for the Dhamma discussion and the sermon. So the times are given in this flyer, but if anyone likes to join, you can send us an email and we will share the details, full details of Zoom links and things like that in the next update. So please, if you are not already in the mailing list, just drop your email address to us and we will send you the details. Pante wants to say anything around that. So.
Yeah, actually, I couldn't still submit the topic for the Dhamma sermon. Actually, the Western Buddhist Association, that meditation center, actually they requested that, but still I couldn't submit it. So most probably within a couple of days I can do that, and probably then with that information you can inform the Zoom link also.
Okay, ma'am.
Yeah.
So today the questions will be read by Nirupa.
Yeah.
Today we have 6 questions. First one is actually not a question, it is just a general suggestion. Dear Venerable Bhante, I would like to request to add Vasala Sutta for our Sutta teaching collection, Bhante. Would you teach us that Sutta at some point in time? No hurry, with Metta.
Yeah, no problem. We can consider that. It's also discussing certain aspects of the Dhamma and how Buddha slowly converted the society to a more agreeable one, more humane one. So we'll take that sutta. Yeah, sure.
The second out of 6, this is about mindful walking. Dear Venerable Sir, much merit for this valuable program where I learned the practice of developing mindfulness. My question is regarding one usage of mindfulness practice where I need your guidance. I have a character of getting angry and agitated often. This has gradually reduced a lot after I started practicing. However, time to time, I get explosive emotions and I see them coming and erupting without being able to stop. Since I cannot stop the anger and the emotions, I immediately go out and start walking mindfully. This takes away the emotions very quickly and I became calm and composed. Sometimes I feel the guilt that I used this precise tool to run away from my unwholesome habits without addressing them directly. Your guidance is much appreciated. With metta.
Yeah, actually, no harm. Basically, we can't immediately use kind of a confrontation with the defilements, because we need a fair amount of mindfulness and wisdom for handle them. So therefore, at the beginning, we are using our meditation technique, meditation primary object, as a kind of an escapism. Can't help, because we are still not yet capable of handling defilements face to face. So at the moment, what I am doing is, whenever suppose there's a lustful thought comes, I'm just trying to put my attention back to the breath, put my attention back to the rising and falling, put my attention back to the foot. I'm not going to handle lustful thought. Maybe angry thoughts are coming, but I'm not going to handle them, but I'm coming back to the body. Now this is how we are training ourselves. But later, slowly as we develop mindfulness, when we are reaching Vedanupasana, when we are reaching Chittanupasana, we are fairly developed, fairly in a good situation to recognize defilements as defilements. Because the perspective is important. So in Satipatthana practice, basically we are able to come out of the experience and recognize the experience objectively. Rather than having kind of a subjective experience, now we are able to come out of the experience without being trapped there. You are able to recognize what is really going on, like an outsider. So this monitoring part, self-monitoring part is quite important. And then you can actually recognize various defilements. So defilements are also looked at objectively rather than considering they are belongs to me or defilements are me or myself or something like that. Rather, they are defilements or they are unwholesome thoughts. So looking at them in that perspective is quite important. Therefore, no harm. I mean, at the moment, if you are using your meditation object as a kind of a escapism, the kind of a subtract to overcome defilements, doesn't matter. But later, actually, you can confront the defilements and overcome them. So that will be possible in the future. So don't worry. Continue your practice.
Out of six. This is also mindful, related to mindful walking. Dear Bhante, I have been practicing mindfulness for a few years. This regarding a common scenario recently in my walking. During the walking practice, I observed the sensations on the soles of my foot and the walking process. Initially, I can keep the attention on these observations for 10 to 15 rounds without any distraction. After that period, when the sensations start to blur and my mind gets distracted to some thoughts at certain times, this distraction happens at the middle of the walking path, which is about 25 steps. When I come to the middle of the path, the mind slips out to some thought. It drifts and comes back at the end of the path, distracts again after some times while at the middle of the path and comes back again at the end of the path. I can continue without taking this seriously, observing the distraction and coming back within bracket as rise and falling, close bracket, or try to restrain and keep the focus on the walking process without letting it go. Takes your guidance with metta. That is the end of the question.
Yeah, I think there is nothing wrong. So you are able to keep your attention continuously on your practice, on the meditation object. So that is what required. And it may vary, it may change. And keep an open mind for that. Now, say for example, you may start with walking meditation with certain characteristics of elements. But later, it may evolve, it may change, and you may even recognize certain other characteristics. Suppose you started with hardness, you are continuing with hardness, using that as to establish mindfulness. And after that, you are able to recognize subtle aspects of hardness as well as other characteristics. Maybe stiffness, maybe smoothness, maybe roughness, maybe heaviness, lightness, heat, cold, and different characteristics now you are trying to explore. So you can little bit add there, you can little bit enhance your practice there. So we are using some sort of a prominent characteristics to establish mindfulness. And later, once mindfulness is fairly good, then we are able to recognize other subtle characteristics as well. So you are doing well, I mean, you can continue.
Fourth out of six questions. This is related to mindful sitting. Dear Venerable Sir, much merits for yourself. My sitting and walking practice are going well and I try to find time daily for the practice. The question is regarding other day-to-day activities. I try to do some activities as per your advice, such as brushing teeth while eating and having a bath. I can recognize various sensations and be with them for shorter periods of time during these day-to-day activities. However, I do not feel much effect from these practices, nor can identify mindfulness or calmness developing. It only leaves a light satisfactory feeling if I manage to be with the sensations throughout the activity. Much merits for your advice.
Yeah, Nirupa, can you repeat the last few statements? There is a kind of a glitch. The sounds that you are, coming from you. If you can repeat the last two statements.
I can recognize various sensations and be with them for shorter period of time during these day-to-day activities. However, I do not feel much effect from these practices, nor can identify mindfulness or calmness developing. It only leaves a light satisfactory feeling if I manage to be with the sensation throughout the activity. Much merits for your advice with
meta. Yeah, interesting. Basically, now say for example, if you are brushing your teeth with mindfulness, so we are looking mind this activity from a different angle. Actually, are using activity to develop certain skills which are not much related to the brushing of the teeth. It also may be become fairly good. You may be brushing your teeth properly. But on the other hand, what we are trying to improve is the certain other skills, mental skills available. And that is where you are keeping your attention more into the present moment. So typically, assume that you are doing brushing the teeth. So we may be thinking something different. We are fantasizing and we are thinking about what we are going to do after going home or after going to the school or after going to the working place. So we are planning. But we are still at the same time, we may be brushing the teeth. So that is where the bodily activity and the mental activity are not well synchronized. So, but in the mindfulness practice, when we are doing the daily activities mindfully, so that activity is done well with mindfulness. So one thing is we may not feel much kind of distractions and our bodily activity and mental activity are well constructed, so sort of agreeable, fairly synchronized. Yeah. And at the same time, that skill, mind is not wandering now. Mind is fairly attuned towards the present activity. It may be an ordinary activity. So therefore, you may not get very big kind of a satisfaction there. What you are doing is a normal, ordinary activity, which are very much like a boring activity sometimes because it's a kind of a habitual activity. But interesting point is, even using that, you are trying to establish mindfulness. But typically, whenever we are not attracted towards a particular activity, our mind starts to wander. It starts thinking something entirely different. It keeps on kind of a scattered thoughts. So that is how mind is going to what we call as the default mode network. DFM. So that is how mind is typically operating. It is keep on thinking certain unnecessary things sometimes because the activity is quite ordinary. It doesn't have much attractive kind of satisfaction. But on the other hand, when we are purposely trying to establish mindfulness, now we are not allowing that wandering mind. So less and less wandering mind is now carefully, silently try to be with the present bodily activity. So even though you can't recognize the benefits of this practice, you can continue. Later you may understand, okay, all these things have accumulated. All these different endeavors, all these different exercises that you are trying to involve, different daily activities are little bit contributing towards your spiritual development. Maybe the development of mindfulness, development of the concentration, and sometimes even to develop various insights. So they are contributing. But you can't recognize kind of a significant portion. What I am sort of contributing this using this particular activity, it's not, they're not be evident. But cumulatively, actually you can recognize, okay, there are a certain amount I'm contributing by being mindful onto these various ordinary activities. So therefore, just continue the practice So later, actually, we can't actually say which factor or which activity has mostly contributed, but these daily activities certainly contribute because we are avoiding the wandering mind, proliferating mind, distracted mind, and we are trying to fairly synchronize with the daily activity, whatever the bodily activity. So therefore, mind becomes more restful, not with any frustration or any too much thinking, obsessive thinking kind of things. Rather, whatever simple bodily activities being mindfully done. Yeah.
Fifth question. This is a general question. Dear Bhante, these days we hear the bad political and economic situation in Sri Lanka. Hope the situation will be better soon. If there is any need of the four requisites for the venerables' usage or anything useful to the monastery, we are happy to support the organizer. Much merits for your invaluable service, and our hearts and thoughts are with Sri Lanka at all the time, with metta.
Yeah. So actually, we have also heard everything. So what to do? I mean, people are, become mad, and everywhere it is very much like people are quite agitated and with less patience and cannot cope with situations. So they are getting more aggressive. I mean, what we can basically see is the kind of decline in the one's human qualities. So therefore, we can expect these kinds of situations in everywhere when the situations are becoming little difficult. So actually we can recognize now, if you consider 100 years ago, 200 years ago, so all these facilities that we are enjoying today were not there. But our grandparents, great-grandparents, they were living a very simple, satisfied life. They didn't argue, they didn't complain. But nowadays, people are distracted with so many completed things, and whenever they lose it, they complain. They start to argue, they start to say quarrel and this and that. Can't help. I mean, this is how we are sort of going away from the, what you call the, say, peacefulness of the mind, peacefulness of our life, and always struggling, arguing, quarreling and all sorts of things, and it is common to whole world. What to do? So Sri Lanka is subjected to that nowadays. So let's wish, as you mentioned, for the betterment of the country. Yeah.
Six out of seven. Dear Bhante, given the current situation in Sri Lanka and around the world, what should be our focus on when we hear something bad? For example, if we hear of the suffering due to various hardships in Sri Lanka. First thing, should we immediately come to the present moment and focus on breathing or rising and falling, etc., to get rid of the pain or anger arising within us? Or the second is, should we think that this is the way of life and try to keep our mind without getting clouded with these thoughts? Basically, ignore, but not in anger, rather identify that is the way things happen and nothing you can do about it. Or should it be some other thoughts? Much merits for your answer as well. That's the end.
Actually, different people have different opinions about this. So some says, just being, looking after yourself is quite selfish. You have to come forward, you have to put forth your idea, you have to struggle, you have to come to the street and and do all sorts of various things. That is your duty. So some say like that. And some others say, okay, you just mind your own business. You can't correct this thing. Is going to ruin the whole thing, so you just mind your own business. It's another argument. I mean, like that, different people have different arguments. So as far as I can see, so I don't know. Basically, even though various things are available, maybe physical, say all the needs are being satisfied, still people are not happy in a way. Now, whenever small things scatter, whenever small thing go something missing, so they come to the rods, they come to the picture, and they start to argue. That's why, I mean, people are becoming less and less patient. They can't endure things. They can't endure hardships. They are simply always asking from some others, or they don't know how to cope up with the situation. So I feel, therefore, very much like kind of a decline in those qualities in human beings. So as I mentioned earlier, so previous days and the good old days, people are more patient. I mean, their minds are in a way quite mature in that sense. So they know that life is like this. So it is always not possible to have ups in the life, but there are situations that things are getting wrong, getting bad, getting worse. So we have to endure those situations. Patiently endure those situations. Actually, those situations help us to develop certain spiritual qualities in the other sense. And actually, I can remember Venerable Achan Cha has emphasized this, mentioning that patient endurance is the most important factor that we can develop in the spiritual life. So these all difficult situations, therefore, in that sense, we can use to develop such kind of skills. And even the Buddha's time, so Buddha went through many difficulties. If you can remember one person, when Buddha was in Neeranjana. So one devotee called Neeranja Brahmin, so he invited Buddha for 3 months for Vassa period. But unfortunately, they went through a scarcity of food, and Buddha only had something given for horses. You know, horses are being fed with some low grade kind of grains, and Buddha and the Sangha was fed only with that. And certain monks, actually, Venerable Moggallana, came forward and asked from the Buddha, Bhante, I can actually use my spiritual powers to bring very good food from divine beings. Shall I do it? He asked from the Buddha. And Buddha denied that. Buddha said, no, not necessary. Let's proceed with this. Let's endure the situation. And there are certain other occasions that while Buddha was on the village Pindapata, Mara intervened and he avoided Buddha being contributed by the other devotees. So Buddha came empty-handed, I mean, empty bowl. Nothing was received. And certain other occasions while Buddha and the Sangha was going through the village Pindapata, that Magandhya's people started to use all harsh words and completely make the thing kind of havoc, where Buddha and the Sangha being fully attacked in the sense abused. Sangha, actually members of the Sangha, came and mentioned, Bhante, we can't live here, let's go out of this country, go out of this place. So, but Buddha didn't do that, rather he endured the situation. So therefore, and these kinds of things are available every time, and not only during the present moment, present days, but even during the Buddha's time. So this is how the human history is filled with. So human history is not a kind of a thing that we can really appreciate. Sometimes really bloodshed is going on, real wars are going on, ruthless wars are going on. So difficult times with the whole human history is filled with. I mean, those can be never, in a sense, completely cured, because whoever win has kind of too much conceit, and whoever get defeated now want to get the revenge. Therefore, wars are like that. So there are two parties. There is a victory and there's a defeat. And there always a defeated party is having a kind of a revenge, and he is now preparing, and at one occasion they are attacking. So this is the situation whole human history is filled with. And So therefore, we can't say that this human realm is therefore a kind of a satisfactory place, a completely satisfactory, peaceful place to live in that sense. So actually, I can remember Buddha mentioned to Venerable Rahula. Now you can remember Venerable Rahula, he is his own son, and Buddha make him ordain at his young age. Now slowly Buddha is educating him. As an affectionate father, Buddha is mentioning to Venerable Rahula, Ma lokam punaragami, don't come back to this world again. So you can see what a kind of advice Buddha has given to Venerable Rahula, don't come to this world again. So that is the advice. So we have come to this world, so this world is like this. This world is a sensual world. This world is filled with lot of sankhara. This world is filled with lot of constructions, arguments, scarcity of various resources. People are always struggling, quarreling, battling, all sorts of things. So this is the world. So during the Buddha's time, situation is very much similar. Today the same, maybe in the future also the same. So we are in the human realm. Human realm is like this. Yeah.
Seventh out of eight. This is related to today's Dhamma Sermon question. Dear Bhante, regarding today's Dhamma Sermon, the first verse says, the blessed one uttered that the raft is no longer needed. Can you please explain how the abandoning of the raft happens when one realizes Dhamma, if Dhamma is the raft? With metta, that is the end of the question.
Yeah, that's why now Dhamma helps to recognize, say, things as they truly are. And then Buddha mentioned if such knowledge is available, then it is preparing one's mind with Nibbida, the disenchantment, and then the relinquishment happens, the freedom happens. So now further and further Dhamma has to be developed to enhance one's knowledge to wisdom, and ultimately the mind becomes completely freed. So that is the path we need to develop. So then when such is developed, then what's the purpose of Dhamma? So Arahants also have learned the Dhamma and they have protected the Dhamma, not for their own sake, but for the benefit of the others. So therefore, so their learning is sometimes mentioned as Dhamma Bandhagarika, where they are protecting for others. So they are learning, maybe teaching and all sorts of things. Because not just because he is now lacking with something, but rather he is fully liberated, he's an Arahant. But he's still doing something because as a kind of a duty. So therefore, I mean, we don't need to do any kind of forceful abandoning of Dhamma. Rather, whenever we are able to maintain the mind free from too much thinking, free from mental proliferation, keeping the mind calm, enjoying the inner silence. So that is where we are able to abandon whatever the things. So Buddha mentioned, Dhammopi bhikkave pahatamba pageva adhamma. Even the Dhamma has to be abandoned, then no point of talking about the adhamma. So adhamma definitely have to abandon, even the Dhamma has to be abandoned. So that doesn't mean that we are being ungrateful or kind of selfish or something like that. Rather, the purpose is done. So Dhamma is kind of a recipe. So you have used that, you have taken the proper medicine, and now you are cured. You are fully recovered. So now, you can give the recipe to another person, to another patient, but now you are recovered. So likewise, so Buddha teach Dhamma as a medicine, as a recipe, as a method, and using which actually we have to cross the flood.
The last question, Bhante, we are running out of the time, but shall I read the question?
Dear
Venerable Bhante, this is a general question. Dear Venerable Bhante, I heard there are 16 ways a person can reach sammaditti according to Buddha's teachings. Would you please be able to teach those 16 ways according to the teaching? Much appreciation and merits, Panti, with Mitta. That is the end of the
question. 16 ways. So probably you are referring, I mean, there are 16 doubts mentioned, and you may be referring how to overcome those doubts. I mean, we can consider those doubts as 16 wrong views. Now one can abandon those 16 views and come to the true view or correct view. So I think I need to look at that. I can't remember all 16. So basically, I think in the Sabbasa Sutta, Buddha explained those 16. Let me find it out and come back to you. What are the those things that Buddha has mentioned? I think you are referring that point. If not, please let me know whether you are referring something else.
Okay, that ends the questions, and I would like to finish up. Firstly, I would like to thank Bhante for sharing your knowledge and giving valuable time to conduct this program. Also, past merits to everyone in here, seen and unseen. Also to the people who were behind the scene organizing of this program to success. Also to the participants. Therwan Sarnai.
Therwan Sarnai.